side, this week is Parashas Yisroi. Okay, Parashas Yisroi, the Aseres HaDibrois, is a reenactment of Matan Torah. Some of the commentators hold that the significance of Matan Torah this week is even greater than the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, it doesn't even say in the Torah, anywhere in the Torah, that when we on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that it's Zman Matan Torah. This is only a rabbinic analysis, but as we go through the Sidra, we go through the entire Chamishe Chumshe Torah, it's a natural progression in reliving the experience of the Torah as we go through the entire year. You're reliving the events. And this week, we're not changing our schedule and changing the Kriyas HaTorah. We naturally experience a Matan Torah, so it's a very powerful week. The whole world was only created by Erev HaBoker Yom HaShishi. The world was weak and was roughly, was soft. The world was not confirmed until Klal Yisrael was Mekabel the Torah. And it's a very significant event that this Shabbos we read and we reenact Matan Torah in a natural setting, through the reading of the Parashas HaShavua according to its order, rather than at some time in the year, let's stop what we're doing. Let's now have on this calendar date, let's uproot ourselves from our regular scheduled programming in order to commemorate Zman Matan. That's a wonderful thing. That's what Chazal, we do once a year. It's a big Yom Tov. But yet there's an element, a dimension in reenacting Matan Torah in its natural setting. And that is what we do in Parashas. This idea is expressed very much by Rabbi Wolfson, by Moshe Wolfson, in explaining that when you go through the Parashas of the Torah the entire year, it's natural. And the topics that are mentioned in the Parasha are being expressed in a natural setting, which has more impact usually than when you make a big commemoration and you are uprooted from your, like we say, your regular scheduled programming to focus. So we have to just...
What do you mean by a natural state?
Because when we go through the parashos HaShavua, we go through the parashos, we read through the parashos called the Sidra. The Sidra, the Sedra. Every, in the cycle of 1 year, we read through the entire Torah, 54 parashiyos. It's not just that, it's a convention, we want to read the whole Torah, so we'll break up the parashiyos into 54 parts, and we'll read one part each week. No, it is a reenactment. It is a living experience of going through the entire events of the Torah as you go through the year. And it's like on Pesach night we say, "Chayev Adam lirois es atzmoi ki ilu hu yotza mimitzrayim." That concept is true for the whole Torah. As we go through every parsha of the week, and we come in contact with the Avos and with Moshe and with Aaron and Hur, and then we come with the villains, all these different people. It's not a nice story. No, it's a re-experience. We're reliving the experience.
Reenactment.
It's a reenactment. And being that it's a reenactment, we are this week reenacting Matan Torah by reading the Aseres HaDibrois and the whole story that surrounds it. Okay, with that said, let's try to ask some basic questions. Why is it that we lump together Matan Torah with the story of Yisrael? Yisro is a major chunk of this parasha. The first half of the parasha deals exclusively with the story of Yisro. Yisro was a very complicated person. Rashi right away tells us that Yisro had seven names. Each name obviously captures a personality trait, captures a role, a mission, a purpose, and That's quite a lot. Seven names. Okay, when you say someone has a name, it doesn't just mean that you declare bankruptcy and you you have a new business name. Yeah. A name in the Torah means that there you have a different purpose, different mission. Yeshua was an extremely complicated person. Why did the Torah go out of its way and devote an enormous amount of material to tell us about Yeshua, what he did? He came with Moshe's wife and his two children, and he criticized Moshe, and he instituted a whole system of judges. And then at the end, goodbye. Like, you call the telephone, right? Goodbye.
Did he change his beliefs?
What? So it's a machloikis. It's a machloikis. He said, "Ki ato yodati ki gadol Elohim, ki gadol Hashem yikol Elohim." Obviously, he said that statement. Did he stay with Moshe? It's unclear. There's more to the story. It's the other parashios. But why? So there are a few little things I want to point out. First thing I want to point out is when Rashi begins to enumerate his names, there's an interesting comment that you wouldn't expect Rashi to say in this week's parasha. Rashi tells us all the names. So I want to turn to the page. And one of the names is Reuel. And then Rashi says, V'yesh Oimrim. Some say that Reuel, let me give you one moment. Okay, give me one moment. The very beginning of the parasha, Pasik, Perek Yudches, Pasik Aleph, the very first Rashi. It says, not Yisro, the second Rashi, Yisro Shiva Shemus Nikrulo. Reuel, Yeser, Yisro Choyvav, Chover, Keni Putil. Yeser al shem sheyiter parasha achas b'Torah. V'yata sechze. Yisro lichas nisgayer v'kiyim ha-mitzvos. When he was megayer, when he came to the mitzvos, ha-yisiv loy ois achas al shemo. Choyvav shechivi v'es ha-Torah. Okay. V'choyvav hu Yisro shenemar b'bnei choyvav chosim Moshe. V'yeshoimrim. That's the part I want to focus on. V'yeshoimrim. Some say Reuel was not Yisro. Reuel was Yisro's father. The Yeshayimim, Reuel, Oviv Shel Yisro Hoya. Ah, but it says back in Parsha Shemos when Moshe came to the Be'er and he saved the daughters of Yisro from the shepherds, from the evil men who were trying to prevent them from taking water from the well. It says, Umahu Oimer Va Tavona El Reuel Avihen. The seven daughters of Yisro, they went to Reuel Avihen. So the pasuk explicitly calls Reuel the father. The daughters of, we call Tzipora, we're calling Reuel the father of Tzipora, which has to mean that Yisro is Reuel. No, it's not Akasha, because it is the derech of children to call their grandfather Abba. That's what it says.
Eliminate one of the names, or
according to this interpretation, we're eliminating seven. We're going from seven to six. Absolutely. Umahu oimer vatavona el ruel avihen. Rashi says shahati noikos. It is the derech of children, koyrin laavi avihen, to call their grandfather Abba. The sifrei paaloischa and memela. When Rashi began in the beginning of the Rashi, Yisro. Shiva Shemois Nikru'ulo. The first name on the list is Reuel. Reuel, Yeser, Yisro, Chovav, Chever, Keni, Putiel. The first name is Reuel. Oh, no. V'yeshayim, there are only six names. Delete. Strike from the text Reuel. Reuel was Yisro's father. Oh, but it says Vatavona el Reuel Avihen. It means that these seven young girls went to their grandfather. And it is
doesn't
the
mean that they were six names. It means it could have been a seven, but we don't know. Because Reuel was the name of Yisro before Matan
Torah. No, right, it's not the Pashup Shat. The Pashup Shat is Vayavo el Reuel Avihen. The Pashup Shat is, right, the Rashi says the Reuel is not Yisro, Reuel is the grandfather. You want to go say there's another name that isn't mentioned? I don't know, he doesn't say other names. He Rashi lists here seven names. And then he, then, no, they're not, the four Matan Torah.
Yisro, what would it give
him for? Okay, it's not, okay, it's not important. This is not, I hear what you're saying, but it's not relevant to what we are going to discuss. We have over here, Rashi says there were seven names. And then Rashi says, no, there are only six names. Reuel was really the grandfather. It was really the grandfather of these girls, and it was not Yisro. So therefore, the first name that Rashi mentions has to be removed from the text. Why is Rashi telling us this? Is this really so important to know this in the beginning? This looks like a medrash to learn this in the beginning of Parashas Yisro. I mean, like we always say, there's an infinite amount of material that Rashi could have drawn from. Rashi very much focuses on the Targum. We know that most of what Rashi says is triggered based upon a nuance in the Targum. But Rashi definitely embellishes the his perish with adding certain midrashim that he feels are critical to understanding the topic. Why is Rashi telling us this? I want to suggest this is part of the answer of why this whole story is the hakdama to Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, it says, "Hoydatem livonecha ulivnevonecha yoim asher amarta lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chorif." The only place where we find a grandfather, the significance of a grandfather in the Torah is by Klal Yisrael, by Matan Torah. There's a din v'hoydatam that you, the Zayde, should make it known, livonecha, ulivnevonecha, yoim asher amarta lifnei Hashem elokecha b'choyev. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you should go buy your grandchildren tefillin. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you should buy your grandchildren tzitzis. It doesn't say anywhere that you should go and pay tuition for your grandchildren. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anywhere that the grandparents have any obligation to their grandchildren. Nothing. There's no obligation for the grandparents. I did mine. I brought the children into the world. Now it's your problem. You take care of your children. It's not my duty to take care of. There is one thing, Rabbi Sai, there is one thing that the Torah does not let a grandfather get away with. The Torah does not let a grandfather get away with letting that the children have to know the Messiah. They don't have to teach them what it says. They don't have to teach them. Teaching, go to your father. Let your father teach. But the grandfather has to let it be known. You have to let the grandchildren know that there was a Har Sinai. There's a start. We don't come from monkeys. We start from Har Sinai. On Har Sinai, Hashem came down with Megala, the Torah, to Klal Yisrael. We were there. And we told this to your parents. And your parents are telling it to you. It's not enough to rely upon your parents. The previous generation has to make it known, the Messiah, the Shalsheles Hadoras, that chain. Now, what is in the chain? Go ask your parents. I'm not going to go pay tuition for you. I paid for my own kids. If you want to know what happened, then you go learn. But one thing you have to know, the grandparents are not exempt. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa v'hoidatem l'vonecha u'l'vnei v'onecha yoyim ha'shamata l'vnei ha'shem l'kecha b'choyreif. Moshe comes to the well. Moshe is a fugitive. He's number one on the FBI's most wanted list. Al'chein noida ha'dovar. They were malshin on him. He ran away to Midian. He comes there, and he comes to Moshe. You know, he needs to get married also. He's an Alta Bacha. He's 40 years old. He's not married. 40 years old, Alta Bacha. He needs to get married. He comes there. Oh, go to the Be'er. You go to a well. A well is where the Ovis. And he sees this. What was the simon? So he comes there, and he sees instead of Moshe, oh, whoever will give me water, I'll marry them. Guess what? No one's giving him water. Not only are they not giving him water, he gives them water. He goes as a war in order to give them water. And what does he get from it? Nothing. They go, thank you very much, goodbye. They go home. Who do they go to? No. They go to the Zayde. Go to your grandfather. How many goyim go to their grandfather today? How even goyim even know where the grandparents are? What? They don't even know who their father is. They don't even know where their father is. Kol Shchein, they don't know where the grandfather is. What? Thank you very much. Where are you going? We're going to grandpa. Where are you going? We're going to our grandfather. Rabbi, please. We're going to our grandfather. Grandfather? Who goes to a grandfather? What are you going to your grandfather? No, in our family, we cherish our grandparents. We're going to Reuel, our grandfather. We call him Abba. That's Rashi. I'm not making this up. This is the first Rashi in the parsha. V'yesh Oimrim, only six names. Reuel is not Yisro. Reuel is the father of Yisro. Yisro, so how, and above what it says, Vatavona El Ruah, how did Moshe even come into the family? How did Moshe get here? Vayavo Yisro, what's going on? Oh, let's go back to the romance, the story. How did it all start? Moshe comes to the well. They should give him the water. They didn't give him nothing. He has to go give them the water, fight for them. And then they go to their grandfather. Moshe says, this is very interesting. This is not your typical family. A family that is machshiv, the Mesoira, the grandfather? Where do you find something like this? I want to be part of this family. This is for me, because this is a Yiddish Amida. This is a Amida that belongs in Klal Yisrael, of V'hoidatem Livonecha Ulivnei Vonecha. Before Matan Torah is the only mitzvah, B'chol HaTorah Kula, where you find the principle of a grandfather. The only place. V'hoidatem Livonecha Ulivnei Vonecha. Yoy Masha Amarta Lifnei Hashem Elokecha B'choyrev. The parasha should begin. Ba'choydesh Hashlishi Litzeis B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Ba'yoyim Hazel Bo Midbar Sinai. Yisro! What are you doing here? Yisro, we'll leave you for later. We'll put you somewhere. We'll put you in Chesnish. We'll put you some another parasha, or last parasha here. We'll stick you in somewhere. Or we won't even talk about you. We'll leave you for the Midrashim. You stole the show. This guy, he stole the show. The parasha is called after Yisro. It's not even called Parashas Matan Torah. The whole parasha, all the darshan, they all talk about Yisro, Yisro. What are you doing here, Yisro? Yisro is the hakdama for Matan Torah. The Hoidatam, because Matan Torah is, what is the essence of Matan Torah? It is the Mesoira. It is the Mesoira that takes us back to our roots. Who is the person that captured the essence of this principle of Mesoira? Yisro. Because Yisro trained his children that you go to the grandfather. Yisro, children don't go like weeds. You have to train them. If the seven daughters of Yisro, when they experienced trauma, they went to their grandfather, it doesn't come from nowhere. It comes because Yisro appreciated the principle of teaching children to have cover for their grandparents. Moshe saw this. He experienced this firsthand. Vatovo el Ruah Aviyan. It's just a name. It just doesn't mean, right now we're not dwelling upon that. It's just a name. Right now we're not, it could be Mr. Smith. It could be Mr. Kolonimus Kalman. It means nothing here. It's just a name. It doesn't mean anything over here.
How are we jumping that Ruel's name is grandfather?
That's what I'm saying. Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi's a tradition. We don't have to know the...
How does Rashi...
You're asking a general question. What's Rashi's source? I don't know. But that's not relevant for that. Right now, that's another question. How does Rashi know that Ruel was Yisro's father? I don't know the answer. Rashi says it. Rashi knew what he was talking about. V'yesh oimim. There's like, oh, it's Gimel Sissachom, what is it over here? Yesh oimim. Zehu l'das ha-mechilta. Shirak bei shemos hayulo. Choyva v'yisro. He goes on. He doesn't tell you the Makar. It's not relevant for us. I don't know the answer. But we don't need to know the answer now. Rashi tells us he goes out of his way. Again, Rashi has available to him an infinite amount of source material to discuss. Rashi, in the very beginning of the parasha, decides to tell us that Yisro had seven names. And then he says, oh, the Yisroim, no. The first name on the list is not Yisro. This is Yisro's father. And when it says, Vatavona el Yisro el Ru'uel Avihen, I don't know the etymology of the name Ruel. It's not important, the etymology. And what's the source? It's Yisro's father. They went to the Zeda. And that is how Moshe entered into this family. And this is something that is extremely relevant to understanding Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah is the establishment of the Shalsheles Hadoiris. The establishment of the Mesoira of Klal Yisrael, of what was taught at Har Sinai. It's channeled down throughout all the generations. And this is a principle that is gold and is fundamental. It is critical to Judaism. And therefore, it's kedai to appreciate this, to take a person whom
who appreciated this, and which Moshe Rabbeinu was enamored with. Moshe, why did he marry Tzipora? There was no one else to marry? Maybe not, but why did he marry her? There's a quality he saw in her. There's a quality he saw in her that was appealing in his eyes. That this girl has an appreciation for her grandfather. Moshe, who's going to be the one that's going to ultimately be the one that's going to transmit the Torah to Klal Yisrael, to be the one that's going to be the Makara of Yehoidatim Levonecha, Levnei Vonecha, I need to marry into such a family that appreciate this principle. And therefore, Yisrael takes the lead in Matan Torah. He belongs here. There's a Mordek Musar in the very first Rashi. This is where it comes. Okay. By the way, I saw yesterday, who was the first person? I saw this in the Medrash, the Oitzer Plois. The first person, the first person in history, in Jewish history, in world history, that had an appreciation, says in the Medrash. And again, Mark, you're gonna get me because I don't know the sources, all the details. No, you should. Adarabba. Who was the first person to appreciate a grandfather? Noach. And in fact, the Medrash says, that's why it says, ki oischa ro'isi tzadik lefonai bador hazer. And I don't remember all the details. This beautiful Medrash that says that every generation, they couldn't care less about their grandfather. That was the mentality of society. You have a father and a son. I don't remember. Lemach, Noach, it says in the Medrash that Noach broke tradition. He was the first person that cared for his grandfather equal to his father. All of his predecessors, the 10 generations, Me'odim ad Noach, listen, I have a child, I have a father. My father brought me into this world. I have no duty, I have anything to do with my grandfather. Life is short. You only live 1,000 years. Who has? And those days, they didn't have smartphones to distract you. You're busy. You don't have time for your grandfather. Noach, it says in the Medrash, Noach was the first person that cared for his grandfather, and he took care of him like he took care of his father. And that is why the pasuk says, "Ki oischa ro'isi tzaddik." Lefonai Bador Hazeh. You are a tzaddik, because look what you do for your grandfather, and no one else does this. So it says in the Midrash. Unbelievable. How does the Midrash read this in the Pasuk? I do not know. But obviously, you see a chavivus in Hashem's eyes for a grandfather. Yisro trained his children. He trained Sipoira. Behind every successful man is a wife. Is a wife who knows what she's doing. Tzipora was Moshe's wife. Tzipora appreciated her grandfather. And that had an effect on Moshe. And when Moshe was selected to be the person which would be the makar of the Hoidatam Levonecha Ulevnei Vonecha. Okay, let's go to another idea as why Yisro was selected.
Yaakov didn't care about his grandfather?
He wasn't the first.
Do we see much of that Yaakov did things for Avram?
We do. He Vayozid Yaakov Nozid. We once actually spoke about this. No, because Yitzchak was an Avelus for Avraham. He was participating, Yaakov was participating in the Avelus. And Esav couldn't care less that Avraham died. So we find that Yaakov did care very much. There was a 15-year overlap. 15-year, there was a 15-year period of time where all three of the Avos live together or alive. 15 years.
He's also the first one to say Baruch Hashem. Oh, Yisroel, Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
And he recognized me to connect with me.
After Baruch Hashem, other two things about him which are critical. Okay, I want to give another idea of what is so critical about Yisroel as a hakdama to Matan Torah. Yisroel, pay close attention. There's a word that appears over and over in the whole story of Yisroel, again and again. And the word is kovod, honor. Rashi is almost obsessed with this. Every pasuk, Rashi keeps on talking about kovod, honor. Look at the beginning when it says right away, Vayishma Yisra Choyin Midyan. Choyin Bin Rashi right away says, Choyin Moshe. Kan! Hoya Yisra Mischabed Bin Moshe. Ah! My covenant is because I am the father-in-law of Moshe. Covenant. Ah, you walk into the room. Who is this? You know what this is? This is Moshe's father-in-law. Covenant. Ani choisen hamelech. Well, sheovar in the past, hoya Moshe toilech hagedula b'chomov. Yisro, Moshe. I am the son-in-law of the Ish Mechubad of Yisro. Okay, then it goes further. Let's go a little bit further. When they come out, when Moshe comes out, what does it say? It says at Vayikach Yisro Choisin Moshe Oilu Zvachem Vayavoy Aharon V'chol Zikne Yisrael Le'echol Lechem Im Choisin Moshe Lefnehu Elokim Rashi. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Vayavo Aaron, Umoyshe Heichon Halach, he was a Shamish, okay, Lefnei Olukim. Where does it say over here, the Pasuk is that it was the greatest covenant in the world. When Moshe came out, then Aaron, let's go back, Vayetze Moshe, let's go back to Pasuk Zayin, Vayetze Moshe, Kovoid Godol, Neschabed Yisroi. A dream come true. For some people, winning the lottery is a dream come true. For some people, getting covered is a dream come true, right? Covered, almost like a covered. Fine, even once, so new, even Oysa Shah, at least you had it once in your life. But Oysa Shah, Kavan, She Yotza Moshe, Yotza Aaron, Nodav Aviv, Umihu Shara Es Elu Yotzin Vlo Yotza. The Gans Klal Yisrael came to give him covered. It sounds like he was a COVID maniac. I mean, what's going on over here? COVID. Okay, let's now go to another example. It's even more of another example. Ahimi Mocharas. Vayeshev Moshe Lishboy Desa'am Vayamud Ha'am Al Moshe Min Ha'boiker Ad Ha'orif Vayarcha Yisrael Moshe Eiz Kol Asher Ho'yisrael La'am Ayam Modav Azah Asher Ato Yisrael La'am Madu Ato Yisrael L'Vadecha V'cholam Nitzav Olecha Min Boiker Ad Ha'orif Rashi Pasuk Yudalit Efshar loymar kein. No, let's go back. Vayamud Moshe. Yoishev kemelech v'chulam oimdim. V'hukshar hadover li Yisroi. He didn't like this. You know why? Shehoya mezalzel b'chvoidon shel Yisrael. And by the way, this story took place after Matan Torah. Okay, Rashi makes a point that this whole thing about judging the people could not possibly have taken place before Matan Torah. This had to have taken place after Matan Torah. But yet it's here before. But is Mezalzel Moshe? What are you doing? Rashi says something challenging. Rashi seems to be saying, you really take a really novel T-ball. That was not the main thing. The main thing, it almost sounds from Rashi, is Moshe, even if you'll wither away, it's okay. But the main thing that bothered Yisro was kavod. That Moshe was getting too much kavod, maybe, or somewhere Rashi says, it says that Yisro held that Moshe was being mezalzel in the kavod of Klal Yisro, in the way the system was set up. Moshe had too much power, people had to wait upon Moshe.
Too much responsibility.
See, but he doesn't even say this. That's what we would say by looking at the psukim. Rashi injects this idea, which needs to be studied and understood in this context, of the huksha hadavar. This is the first time that Yisro is the first comment of Rashi on this whole situation. The huksha hadavar li Yisro, shaya mezalzel bichvoidon shel Yisro. Covered. The whole thing is about covered. Wherever you go, covered. He comes, Chosein Moshe. Khan, he's Mishabib. But in the past, it was Moshe Mishabib by him. Moshe come, covered Godol, Hoya, covered. Nochemo, more covered. Moshe, you're being Mizazel, be Kvoid and Shalish. It sounds like this Yisro fellow. It's covered. You know people like this? What?
Here he was concerned about the covenant of Israel.
It takes one to know one. Yeah, really, that's exactly the point. Because he's all about covenant, he can understand the whole hierarchy of covenant. It takes one to know one. It takes one to know one. There are certain people that, you know, they're very humble, means nothing. You know, we've come across a lot of these people. They're very makbid on covenant. They're very, sometimes it's healthy and sometimes it's a sickness. It's mamish achili hanefesh. Mamish achili hanefesh. There are certain people, it's just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Like this need, this real illness. They really need it to an extent. Everyone needs COVID. Let's not fake ourselves. I also have Hudna said, you can survive without shelter for a certain month, without food for a certain amount of time, without clothing, without solid foods for less time, without water. You can survive without oxygen for almost 4 minutes. How long can you survive without COVID? Not even a second. Not even a second.
Doing this, it sounds like you're degrading Yisro.
I'm not degrading Yisro. I chas v'shalom for me to say that. Chas v'shalom.
Because you wouldn't have a parsha added if you...
100% an extra parsha was added to the Torah. Chas v'shalom. I ask mechila from Kodesh Kodashim Yisro chas v'shalom. What I'm trying to bring out is Yisro understood the concept, the value of a healthy, balanced kavod. Kavod is a very important thing. This vort from Rav Chudner is not a joke. It's very true. A person needs to have a purpose. Yimispal every Rosh Chodesh Chaim shel oysher v'chavod. If a person has no honor in his life, he can commit suicide. He can go to the Washington Bridge and jump. A person has to have some kavod, some healthy, a healthy purpose, a healthy satisfaction, a satisfaction that he's important, that his contribution to this world is valuable to Hashem, to his family, to society. We throw around the word just like a sack of potatoes, and we make jokes about it, but the COVID is an extremely important ingredient that keeps this world functioning. If you would remove the ingredient of kavod, the world would collapse in a second. The world needs kavod. It has to be balanced. Like everything in life is balance.
It's kavod of
Torah. Kavod Shema. Torah. Yisro, the whole story of Yisro from beginning to end, every step of the way. Moshe, you're going to come out. You're not going to come out. They make a seuda. And then the story, mezalzel b'chvoidin shel Yisro. This is the hakdamah to Matan Torah. Chazal, the Torah, by writing this, is telling us there's something called kavod haTorah. I know this term is abused. It's an abused term today because they won so much. The people who promoted kavod haTorah, they won the battle to such a degree that unfortunately it became a little bit exaggerated sometimes. Sometimes not. But the Torah, by getting Matan Torah, it's not just, okay, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. You live in America, you have Thanksgiving, you have New Year's, you have Mother's Day, July 4th, you have apple pie, and you do your things. It's a way of life. That's not what Judaism is about. Torah and Yahadus demands kavod. It is choshev. If there's no kavod haTorah, the Torah will evaporate. Klal Yisrael will never survive. Torah is eternal. It is the blueprint of this world, but it is critical to inject into every dimension of Torah the principle of kavod. There is something to it. And we maybe we take it for granted, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have enough kavod haTorah. Maybe sometimes it's abused, and the kavod haTorah really just turns into gaiva. It becomes corrupt. But the principle of kavod haTorah it is essential. It is essential, it is critical that it be developed and nurtured, guided in the most proper way to preserve and to elevate the chashivus of Matan Torah. Matan Torah wasn't just, okay, let's call a meeting. We'll call a meeting in the backyard and we'll smoke and we'll have we have an important meeting. We have an important meeting. Let's discuss, the plan for next year. What we have, you have a business and we have to go and implement some new policies and hire some new people. So, you call a staff meeting of your business in order to give over the new laws, the new rules, and tell everyone how much they're going to make. Give everyone their new salaries for the next year and give out bonuses. Everyone come to a meeting. You come in your pajamas. You come make jokes. You come, no one pays attention. And everyone is smoking and eating and talking. And the boss says, okay, you're going to make, you're fired and you're hired. And you this and you that. All right, everyone, you got all the rules. Everyone knows what to do. Have a nice day. There's no dignity. It's garbage. Yeah, this is your parnasa. I just got a job. I got a raise. I got a new job. I got a promotion. I did this. I did that. Yeah, but just pay the bills. Pay the bills. Couple of bucks. And, move on and enjoy yourself and do whatever you want to go do. And this is just a meeting in order to a necessary evil. I have to attend this meeting. This is the most boring meeting in the world. I have to attend this meeting and listen to these speeches and do this Gesundheit because I need to make a parnasa, so I have to go do this. Is that what Matan Torah was? The Ribbono Shel Olam has called a meeting. I took you out of Egypt. I give you man. Let me tell you the rules. These are the rules. Saturday, you don't go to work. Don't kill anyone. Give honor to your parents. Got it, you guys? Okay, go back to sleep now. Come in your pajamas, sit around, and have some popcorn, like a movie. Okay, an hour, what is it called? The drive-in, everyone come with your cars, a drive-in movie. Matan Torah will be a drive-in, what is it called, drive-in? Is that what it's called? A drive-in movie. Everyone, you get in your cars, automobiles, you come to this place in the desert, we have a drive-in movie, and Hashem's going to appear and tell you what the rules are, and you'll eat your popcorn, and you'll say, I'm so boring. And you come in your pajamas. And then the next day, you follow the rules. If Judaism is like that, in a couple of years, there's no more Judaism. It's all over. The assimilation, it's over. Finished. Torah, in every dimension, demands kavod. Kavod HaTorah. Yisro, the name Yisro evokes one, if you study the parasha, Mr. Kavod is here. Dr. Kavod. Dr. Kavod has arrived. This person, he's very makbid on protocol, kavod, dress, food. They made a party. Who's doing what? That's right. This is the hakdama to Matan Torah. Torah is no nonsense. Torah demands kavod. It is worth it. It is appropriate. There is, in fact, nothing in this world that kavod is more fitting, deserves kavod more than the kedusha satorah, and it's an essential ingredient of kabbalah satorah. And therefore, Yisro, who is Dr. Kavod, has to come and prepare us before Matan Torah. The parasha of the Ata Sechazem Mikol Ha'am Anshei Chayil, the statement, don't be mezalzel b'chvoidon shel Yisrael. To get the Torah, you have to have Kavod for Klal Yisrael. This is a critical message. Yisro's Musa to Moshe, even though it's out of order. But the Torah is putting it over here and it's telling Moshe, you're going to Mekabel the Torah to give Torah. This is not just a job. Don't be mezalzel b'chvoidon shel klal Yisrael. You have to appreciate kavod. That is perhaps another idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now I'll tell you the idea that's a little nasty. It's a nasty idea. It's a very popular question, and that is when Yisro gave advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, the advice he gave was, You can't do this yourself. You have to have a hierarchy. Sorei alofim, sorei meo, sorei chamishim, sorei asorois. And the dover, his words were, the dover hagodol will go to you. When there's a problem in society, there's an issue, you're the Supreme Court. And what goes to the Supreme Court? The dover hagodol. What goes to the lower courts? His words are the dover hakoton, the small matters. And we need a hierarchy. So, okay, you're right. Whatever you say, Yisro, we're going to do. Yisro listens, Moshe listens. And then it says, they implemented the plan, and it says, what happened? The dover hakoton, in fact, went to the lower judges, but it doesn't say the dover hagodol went to Moshe. Instead, it says the dover hakoshe, the difficult things. It didn't go according to plan. Yisro said, I'm going to read the words, v'atoyu sechze mikol ha'om, anshe chayel v'chulu v'chulu v'shoftu, v'hoya hadavar hagodol yaviyu elecha, v'chol hadavar hakoton, with a cholam, I told you, a cholam, hakoton yish pituhein. When it says v'yishma Moshe, what does it say? It says, v'shoftu esam b'choleis, es hadavar hakoshe. Now what Yisro advised, yiviyu el Moshe, v'chol hadavar hakoton yish pituhein. Makoro. This is a very famous question. There are many answers to this question. We probably spoke about it in the past. I want to give you a new answer, and the answer is not pretty. It's not a pretty answer I want to give you. Okay, a little nasty. Some people, someone told me that my Torah is very dark. Why do I have a tendency to say dark Torah? Okay, but this is not a pretty answer. But I think there is a kernel of truth, and I apologize if I oversay it. Yisro had another piece of advice for Moshe Rabbeinu, which also is not so simple. When we make this hierarchy, I have a long laundry list of qualifications that we need for our judges. V'yato asech zeh mikol ha'om anshei chayil. Number one. Yirei Elokim. Anshei emes. Sonei votza. Wow, quite a list. Four different items on the list. By the way, we know what Yirei Elokim, okay, Yirei Elokim, Yirei Elokim, I mean, okay, I think it's self-explanatory. Anshei emes, okay, it's pretty much self-explanatory, honest people. Sonei votza, people who hate corruption. Okay, what does it mean, anshei chayil? So if I wouldn't know better, I would say anshei chayil means bodybuilders. Marines, right? Someone comes and doesn't behave himself, the judge, you don't need to have a court officers. If someone in the court doesn't behave himself, the judge himself will give him a zet. The judge. What does a chayil mean? A soldier.
Why can't be anche chayil? Because he's going to be giving out mishpat and they're not going to like what they hear. He's going to be strong and anche chayil.
Okay. So a soldier. What is a chayil? A soldier, right? That's not what Rashi says. That's what I would think, right? Anshei chayil means a soldier, a marine, Navy SEAL. If the litigant doesn't pay attention, you give him a frask. You beat him up.
Just strong-minded.
No, that's not what it is. So you want to say you mean strong-minded. That's what I would think, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, you know what anshei chayil are? Pasuk chof chof aleph. Rashi opens up a can of worms. Anshei chayil, ashirim, money. Rich people. Rich people, she'ein tzrichim lahachanif lahakir panim. They're not going to be subject to bribery. It's a pella because people that are rich, adarab. You find the more mishreitzim yeshlem money reitzim sign. It's a pella what Rashi says. But he taiches anshei chayil. I'm not making this up here. He says rich people. Would anyone here? When you made a list of judge's qualifications to be a judge, gotta be rich, money. And that opens up a can of worms because then the order is, first thing is, they got to be rich. Second thing is, a Yorei Elokim. That's only number two. That's not so important. Only number two. Number three, Anshei Emes. Number four, Sonei Votza. But the Ershta, the Iker, The Ashta is money, rich. It's a mamash apella. Okay, it's a. That's what it says in Rashi. You can go tell me all the other Rishonim. I'm sure you'll find me a million Rishonim that say a lot. I'm reading what it says in the Art Scroll edition. It says rich, Ashirim.
Because if he's an
usher,
he's
going
to have the other three qualities.
Oh, see, all the. I told you, it opens up a can of worms. You just made a very good joke. Okay, now, what happens at the end? What happens at the end? Vayishma Moshe l'kol choisnoi vayas kol asher omar. Everything, really? Doesn't say everything. Vayivchar Moshe. Moshe selected Anshei Chayil Mikol Yisrael. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And Chazal say, what happened to the Yirei Elokim, the Soni Botza, and Anshei Emes? Couldn't find any. So the Chazal say this. Couldn't rush in Dvorim, Parish Dvorim. When this story is repeated there, it says that the story is a little bit different over there. It doesn't. All it says is they only found rich people. It doesn't say you want to make diukim kol asher omar. Look at the pshuta shel mikra. It does anshei chayil. So I want to suggest to you this. The Chazal say this. You can't have tainus on me for saying this, even though it's not pretty. Chazal say this. This question answers the other question. Why is it, Yisrael says, Dover HaGodol goes to you, Moshe. What does it mean, God? What is Godol versus Koshe? Godol means, it's really very hard to define what these words mean. But one thing is for sure, Koshe means difficult. It means you need to know Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm making this assumption, maybe I'm wrong, I'm saying Drush.
Complex.
Godel, I don't really know what Godel means. Godel, what does Godel mean? Big matters. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, what it means. Whatever it means, it means. I don't even know what it means. But one thing I think we have this drush. Kosher means it's very difficult. Difficult, which means you need to know Kol HaTorah Kula. You need to be an outstanding Talmud Chacham. You need to have those shas and poiskim on your fingertips. Now, Yisro said there's davar katon and davar gadol. But what davar katon and davar gadol? Oh, what? Who's going to get the davar hakoshe? Let the little guys get the davar. A guy sits and learns his whole life. He sits so he can answer a davar koshe. One of the people who's going to be an officer on the lowest level, officer of 10 people, he could handle a davar koshe. He sat in kol his whole life, right? He's not yet at the madrega to get the davar hagodol, but kosha is not an issue. Everyone can handle a kosha. The question is godol versus katan. At the end of the day, they couldn't find anyone. The only one that was able to answer the difficult matters, who had a full grasp of kol haTorah kula inside out, was only Moshe Rabbeinu. And all of the judges, even though Yisrael thought, big deal, they'll be able to answer the Dover HaKosheh. The only difference between them and Moshe will be Godol versus Katan. What is Godol and Katan? You have to evaluate. Does it mean Malkois versus Misas Bezdin? Does it mean something which affects Klal Yisrael versus what affects a private person? But it doesn't discuss difficulty level. Difficulty level, everyone can handle it. You sit in Kol, you get a PhD. You know, the people that are 25 years old have PhDs. Difficult, everyone can. The end of the day, the only one who knew how to handle the difficult questions in Halacha was Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else. Why not? Because everyone else was rich. And money, ashirus, and being an outstanding Talmud Chacham are mutually exclusive. That's a nasty thing to say. There's no such thing for the Hamoin Am as Torah u'gidula b'makay mechad.
Why we have that? Because the Makamanias will come with the...
Exact proves the point. His Hizaru mibnei aniyim shemehem teitzei Torah. B'nei aniyim. Why doesn't it say, be afraid of the rich? Because from the rich, teitze Torah. Look, they're the dayanim. Why doesn't it say, Chazal, be scared of the rich? Because the rich people are going to argue, from them will come forth Torah. Here, look, the rich people were appointed to be the judges. Vayishma Moshe l'chol chosav v'yaskol shomar v'yivcha Moshe anshei chayil. He appointed the rich people, Rashi, chayil, rich. They became the leaders. Vayitidai sam roshim alom, sorry, I love him. And what, but you know what the answer is? No, no, no. If you're rich, it's not for the hamoy. There are yechidim, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. There are exceptions, no question about it. But the hamoin am, you can't have it both. Chazal said, Hizar mibnei aniyim. Because the leaders were only rich people, they could not deal with a dovar hakosher. They couldn't deal with anything that was kosher, they couldn't deal with. They couldn't deal with it.
What happened later?
A guy comes to a personal guy and says, I have a pot, a milk, a spoon fell into my flesh, took a pot, and this, and this, and this, this. The guy says, I don't know what to tell you. Go to Moshe. Moshe's busy with wars. The Dover HaGadol. He's dealing with a Zoken Mamre. He's dealing with Milchomois, life and death. He doesn't have time to answer your pots and pans for a guy in a basement. He doesn't have time for this. Yeah, but I don't know how to answer this question because it's too complicated for my little head. What do you mean? Didn't you go to Kollel and learn this? No, I was busy making money. I never went to Seder. I was busy selling stocks and on the street doing wheeling and dealing on the internet and dealing with bitcoins and this mishigas and that mishigas and trying to make a living. Well, how do you become a judge? I'm rich. I'm a famous guy. That's why I became a judge. Can I tell you what to do with your pots and pans? Nope. It's kosher for me. Go to Moshe. Moshe doesn't have time for this, for your pots and pans. Moshe is busy with World War III. He's busy with Dover HaGadol. Yisro's plan failed miserably. And it can fail miserably, but I'm trying to suggest to you is that Yisro had theoretically a good plan. If the people were Taka, Yirei Elokim, Sonny Betz, Anshei MS, and also wealthy, then Taka, they would be able to handle the Yiras Elokim, will give them Siyat Nishmaya to be Matzliach in their learning, they will be able to answer the Dover HaKosha. But because at the end of the day, the only ones that were appointed to becoming judges were the Anshei Chayil. Oh, but he sat and learned in Kollel. This guy's a phenomenally wealthy person. He's also a Grois Talmud Chacham. Look, you only hear it all the time. He's a Talmud Chacham and he's a Gevir. Whenever you hear that, watch out. In Shaduchim, they all say, oh, the person, half a day he sits and learns, and half a day he's Isaac in real estate, and he's a Gevir. Yeah, watch out. Watch out big time from these people. Watch out big time from these people. I've seen these people. When they think they're telling, it's either one or the other. If the Taka, very, very wealthy, don't be so impressed with their Talmudic knowledge, it's very dangerous.
Half a day they don't work, and half a day they don't work.
Listen, everyone, this is the dream of every person, the aspiration to have Torah u'gedula b'makayim echad. But when people promote themselves as such, it doesn't exist. It's not true. Yechidim, if even you can find such people, if they are accepted in society as being askonim, gevirim, who support Torah institutions, and don't go to them to ask paskin shail and halacha, and when they start making believe that they're the authority on Torah and start giving advice on to Moistois what the education, what is the chinuch, what they should teach, what they shouldn't teach, and they're going to make the decisions what should be the Seder Halimud, and they're going to open up who needs a koilel, who doesn't need a koilel, you're in a lot of trouble. And the people that are the real Talmidei Chachamim, they don't have any money. It doesn't go together. It's the way Hashem made the world. Chazal say it. Chazal say, Hizoru mibnei aniyim shemehem teitzei Torah. A person is preoccupied the whole day with money, and you have a passion for money. It affects your learning. The Torah is too sensitive. It's too sensitive to allow itself to reside in a person whose she'ifa in life is really for money, not for Torah. And everyone knows this deep down inside. Now, is it 100% true? Absolutely not, because Chazal tell us that they focus on yichidim, one in a million, who had both together. And the classic example is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was Rebbe the Antoninos. It was not on their table. They had the delicacies of the world every season, all year round. Money was not an issue whatsoever. And there was no one greater in Torah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he compiled the Mishnayos. But for the Hamoin Am, life is a trade-off. If your she'ifa in life is Torah, it's just not going to happen that you're going to be, the richest man in the world. And if you're she'ifa, and if that's what your Hashem made you, Hashem gave you the need, the she'ifa to be wealthy. Baruch Hashem for those people, and there are dime a dozen of those people. That's what they want, and kol hakavod and success to them. And they're fine erulcha people who sit and learn the whole day. Kol hakavod. But Chazal say, from them is not going to be Yotzei Torah Yisrael. The Chazal, that's not what it says. That's not what it says. You want to make up new things? Live a new generation. Everyone is rich and everyone is the Gadol Hadar. He learned Shas 10 times and he has real estate all over the world. And it's ridiculous. It's why you hear this type of talk. It's baloney. Look at the Pasuk. The end of the day was only appointed to leadership positions Anshei Chayil. Memela, they couldn't answer the Dover HaKoshe. A difficult Shaila had to go to Moshe Rabbeinu.
How's he setting up the future now? That's what I don't get here.
Yisro at least presents an ideal. Even though it didn't work out, at least he presents, okay, we're out of time over here. Rabbi Sai, I want to tell you one last teeny little vart. A teeny little vart. Someone asked me a question yesterday. A 30-second vart. He asked me a very good question yesterday. Phenomenal. Challenges to your people. Good for Shabbos table. Yeah. Yisro said a point. Sorei alofim. Sorei meos. Sorei chamishim. Sorei asaros. Four different leaders. Thousands. Hundreds. 50. 10. It's not symmetrical. It should be thousands. Hundreds. Tens. If you want to go put in a 50, then you got to go put in a 500 and a 5. It's not symmetrical. Where does 50 get into this? Manavshach, a musician told me this. You know, everything is... Isn't it a good kasha? You want to answer this question? What's the 50? 1,000? 100? 10? Where is the 50? So Rashi answers the kasha. Rashi says, it's not the godless. It's an unbelievable Rashi, teeny Rashi. Rashi says... One liner in Rashi answers the kasha and opens up a whole new world in appreciating what's really going on in the Torah. A whole new world. Sorei alafim. Fine. Rashi says, what are sorei alafim? Heimayu sheish meos. The ikur is the 600. When it says 1,000, who cares about 1,000? The ikur is 600. Now, you'll tell me, what is 600? Six. The number six. The number six is the number that is critical. Why? Look, there were 600,000 Jews. Just leave with that. But here's the key. Sorei meos, sheishes alafim, 6,000. Sorei chamishim, yud beis elef. How many leaders of 500 were there? 12,000. The reason why there was 500 is because we want the number 12. The Yud Bei Shiftei Ka. Klal Yisrael has 600,000. Shishim 60 Rebo. 60 times Rebo. That's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is comprised of 12 tribes. Each tribe had their own Sanhedrin. Memela, the reason why there are 500 is not because the number 500 has any meaning.
Wait, so 50 is not
500. I'm sorry, 50. The reason why there are 50, at least the 50, sorry, at least the 50 for 50, is because the leaders of 50 produce Yud Beis Elef, a nice round number, 12,000. 12,000 and divided by the Shvat because there are 12,000 Shvatim. The Iker is not the 50. It's the result. There are 12,000. There are Yud, Bey, Shiftei, Ka. There are Shishim, Riboy. The Iker is the number. So in order to have these numbers, it's going to be thousands, hundreds, 50, and 10, because then you're always using these two numbers, 6 and 12. Okay, Rabbi Sayyid.